There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
that! Radio
program. And now for something completely different.
Yes, we are here, we are here. We were just catching some news. Somebody put a video of me up of an interview, a very nice looking interview, up on YouTube. Let me bring this up, then I got to bring that up, then I got to bring that down. Yes, I'm Dutch Jones, and we are live, coming to you live from Central California. We are in the central mountains of the Sierra Nevadas, little area called Kawea. K-A-W-E-A-H. And no, we're not on the border. We were supposed to be on the border, but I injured my foot, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, the original op was postponed, but I'm not going to tell you what happened, because we got people actively doing things right now. Someone released an interview with me and put it up on YouTube talking about the original operation, and they told me that they wouldn't release it until after it was over, so I don't know, but it's got 306 hits.
It doesn't look bad to
anybody. Huh?
It
looks pretty good, actually. I couldn't believe the camera they were using was like the size of a pack of cards. And I look pretty good. I'm looking pretty good in this video. My hair, got my vest on. Can't see I'm packing a... We did it in the church office. Huh. Ooh, wow. It's very nicely edited, so that's okay. That's good. That's good that they put it up. This is from, who put this up? This is Southern California Martial Law Alerts Meetup Group, which I'm a sponsor of that group, we found out. I promote it. And the SoCal Martial Law Alerts, we got to find out how to direct people to them. because they come to our church, some of the folks from that group, and they do some things that we do. They help us out. We may not agree on everything, but they're another branch in the Tree of Liberty, and we like what they're doing. Let me get back into the room here. I got to shut down some stuff here so I don't use up the bandwidth. Boom, boom, and double boom. Let me open up you broadcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is, what is today's date? Today is July 9th, 2010. It is a Friday. For most of you, it's the last day of your week. For us, we work every day. Up here, even though the heat right now, it's about 100 degrees. Lou got out and did some watering of some of the fruit trees. He was forced to against his will. I made him come out and water the trees. It's a daily labor up here trying to keep trees alive. We got gophers, we got the heat, and we've got some fruit trees. We got some ornamental trees just to cover, look good, to, you know, maybe block some avenues of vision that we don't want people to see just because it's tacky. You know, because we're kind of in an open area. It's an open field that we're in with some older oak trees scattered about. So we're doing some planting. Want to make it look good. But, wow, look at all the people. Look at all the guests. We got three guests in there already. I just got into the chat room, and now it's going to play the, hi, my name is so-and-so. So,
hey, Ray Romano, you're watching
right there.
You broadcast, and I'm a little drunk.
Let me just do that. Let me go over here and pause it. So welcome aboard, everybody. Who needs a water heater when you got 100 degrees? Yeah, just lay out a black hose on the roof and you got water. Well, we do have a water heater now. That's why we're broke. Cost me $300. We still don't have the pipes fixed. We're working on that. Our plumber got snatched in a bogus pickup. We got him back, though. So we're doing the best we can to keep bringing you the message here. And what is that message? It is militant Christianity. It's about the holy cause of liberty. Yesterday I made a lot of people mad bagging on the cops, didn't I? I got some email today. A lot of people out there that got law enforcement in their families. Well, then you need to be reaching out to them and make sure they're doing the right thing. That's my answer to you guys. I didn't answer any of them. You know, if you're that mad and angry and you're defending your uncle, your nephew, your son, well, you know, fine. That's good, you know. But you need to be making sure that they're obeying the law. You hold them accountable. And I hold you accountable for holding them accountable, all those of you that sent me nasty grams. I went through my Facebook page. I had almost 500 people on there. And I said, this is kind of weird. Why don't I, you know, because sometimes I just go through and approve friend requests without looking. I went through and I found probably 9 or 10 National Socialist outright Nazis, found a couple hippies, found a couple people that, you know, just I had nothing in common with, so I deleted them. But I rounded up some old friends. And I ran into an old flame. I don't know if Stacy's listening over there across the street. Actually, she's probably gone to pick up the girl. We have our daughter coming in. But I ran into an old girlfriend that I went to a couple proms with, and she may have some pictures of me at like age 17 with a blue or not blue mohawk. So there may be a treat for you guys if she can scrounge them up, find them, and send them to me, and I'll post them up. My radical early days, to show you I've been engaged in fighting Big Brother just from different fronts. I'm kind of hoping I get that. That's kind of fun with it. Batfag saying, I work as one of them types, and what you said is true. Yeah, Batfag, I'm not going to go into it, but we know that he's in there in the belly of the beast, and he's attesting to what I said yesterday. That, you know, it's like putting 1 gallon of good Dinty Moore beef stew in a 100-gallon tank of crap and expecting me to eat the beef stew. Because people say, well, there are some good cops, and I think I offended some of the folks at Liberty Tree Radio. Okay. But I just tell the truth here. That's all I can do.
A turd covered in sprinkles.
It's like a turd covered in sprinkles, Lou said. And then there are the other guys, like Batfag says, I'm doing it for the paycheck, and I'm trying to write it out. A lot of us got into it with good intentions. I actually thought I could change things. I went into it wanting to get the training, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to stick it out, and I think I can change things. But I'm not going to change the way law enforcement works. It just broke me. It disillusioned me. I saw people that I respected, sergeants and lieutenants, that were just scum. When you pull down, I call it the Oz effect, when you rip back the curtain and you see what's really going on. It's the Oz effect. And I saw that in law enforcement. But that was yesterday's show. Today's show, we're going to talk a little bit, and this is what I get most of my questions about, the topic I'm going to talk about today. And if you guys are bored with hearing this, hopefully I'm going to have some new material on it. But the biblical doctrine of force and self-defense. Hey, she's here. The phone hasn't rung? They're not. I thought maybe you were already gone. I was hoping that they'd be there like at 5. Mm-hmm. Stacy just walked in and sat down. Hello, my lovely bride.
Hello.
And I was hoping that you had gone. Not that I want you gone, but that meant you were going to retrieve our fourth member of the family. Well, the biblical doctrine of self-defense is clearly outlined in the Decalogue. And for those of you that don't know what that is, that's the Ten Commandments. They are positive commandments. Thou shalt, you know, not do this, thou shalt do that. But people don't see the positive part of it. They just see the thou shalt not. Commit adultery, commit murder, you know, bear false witness. But at the same time, God is saying, thou shalt love your wife and no other, you know. Thou shalt honor your parents. Thou shalt stop yourself from being murdered or another from being murdered. What are you doing? You gonna wipe my head with Windex?
No,
what are you doing?
Windows.
Oh, okay. You scared me there. I saw you grabbing for the Windex. I thought it was all over for me. Windex and a lighter. That's all they need, you know.
Well, if somebody hurts you.
Yeah. But self-defense is a duty. And a lot of people that are especially Christians have forgotten that, and they let it go. Because why? They're cowards and they're wimpy. They were lied to by pastors. Whatever the reason is, it's counter-biblical. And I've gone over stuff with Peter Hammond with you, but here I'm going to go back to America's providential history. And as a last recourse in resisting tyranny, force is a legitimate biblical means. Now, you've done everything else. You've protested. You've tried everything you can. You've sent letters. You've stood out on the steps of the courthouse and shook your fist. And it still didn't stop tyranny. It didn't stop them from coming and taking your sons and daughters and your cattle and your homes. The Old Testament contains many examples of the children of Israel using force to defend themselves. What we're going to do is we're going to examine in a later lesson how defensive war in a just cause is sinless. But for now, what I want to do is I want to talk about how Jesus also considered force legitimate at certain times in resisting tyranny. Jesus Christ, it's not just Old Testament stuff. I mean, you know, we can go into Jericho and all that other stuff and, you know, things like that, but let's talk specifically. You know, at the conclusion of the Last Supper, Jesus finished his instructions. He began with the 70 by instructing his disciples to prepare themselves militarily. Militarily. Let him who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. And they said, Lord, look, we have two swords. Is that enough? And he said to them, it's enough. And that's Luke 22, 36, and 38. It's the theme verse of this show. Now, implying legitimacy of using force at certain times, Jesus said it himself, you need a sword. Do you think he wanted that sword for skewering a chicken? Do you think he wanted that sword so that they could pry open doors? No, it was a weapon of war. Had it been now, he would have said, get yourself an AR-15, get yourself an SKS, an AK-47. Now, John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice, commented on this incident in a letter written in 1818. And I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm going to hit at this again and then move on to some other points. Although just war is not forbidden by the gospel in express terms, yet you think an implied prohibition of all war, without exception, is deducible from the answer of our Lord to Pilate. Okay, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, etc. People always grab that and say, well, we're not supposed to fight. You know, it's not here. At the conclusion of the Last Supper, our Lord said to his disciples, he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. John Jay brings it up again in his thesis here. It is not to be presumed that our Lord would have ordered swords to be provided, but for some purpose for which a sword was requisite. Why do we have swords, offensive and defensive? It's inexcusable for Christians to ignore this in the Bible. When the officers and their band arrived with swords and staves to take Jesus, they who were about him saw what would follow. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite them with the sword? Luke 22:49. And it does not appear that any of the 11 disciples were with him, except for one, made the least attempt to defend him. But Peter, probably inferring from the other swords that they were now to be used, proceeding to smite the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. That's verse 50. Now Jesus, perhaps among other reasons to abate inducement to prosecute Peter for the violent act, healed the ear. There's a time and a place for war. There's a time and a place to stand and fight, and there's a time to run. Now we as militia have to recognize that. We're commanded by God to train martially to protect our families, our communities, our churches, and those types of things. But sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. I run into so many people that just want to stand toe-to-toe with federal forces or the Chinese or whoever it is, UN forces. I kind of smile and go, yeah, you know, you're great. You know, I've seen your videos. I listen to you brag about how great you are. But in reality, I know that they wouldn't last 20 seconds up against a professionally trained and multifaceted army. I mean, just indirect fire alone is something that we're not going to have on the outset. But that doesn't mean that we don't stand and fight sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't run and fight. But what's the word for it? Like a tactical retreat? You know, you remove yourself from the battlefield, because what's Sun Tzu's primary law or rule of war? You choose when to fight. Choose the battlefield. If they surprise you, they catch you with your pants down, you don't stand and fight there. You do everything you can to break out of it. Some people, like in an ambush, they say break forward. That's one school of thought. Mine is what I learned in infantry school, you know, was a procedure where you do your immediate action drills and you throw every grenade you have. The first guy, the point man, empties a magazine, then leapfrogs back until the last guy's out of the ambush. Now, if the ambush is real, you're not going to be able to do that because you're not going to survive. But you have a duty to defend against that. What about the ambushes in life? What about when your community is ambushing Christians and setting them up so that it takes their views out of the public eye? How do you react to an ambush politically? You fight. You fight, you fight, you fight. What about preemptive strikes? Is it okay for a Christian to make a preemptive strike? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. deception? What about using spies? It's all through the Bible. You guys know it. I don't even have to throw out verses for you guys. I'm looking at the list of people that are listening, and you guys know it. So to continue to squabble over, I'm surprised I still get the emails. Maybe we're just getting a multitude of new listeners. That must be the reason why I'm getting is like, why would Christians fight? The question to me, to them, is why wouldn't Christians fight? We're commanded to do so. We're very much commanded to do so. So I prepare myself, and that's all I wanted to touch on that, because I just got more letters. Oh boy, I was like overheating here. Let's go back. Let me find something here. There's something I wanted to find in here. I'm trying to find the militia thing in here. But we can only argue so long with these people throwing, you know, mud at us. We can't always be kind to them. The time's come for me that I don't answer the emails. I tell them to listen. I send them an email, say, hey, I'm going to cover what you said. Let's just talk about it. What's this one here? Train and train with them. What's this? Anyone seen this link yet? TJ can put it on his pooter tickle. I can't look at it. I keep telling you guys, if we look at any video while we're on the air, it takes us down. So it's for the entertainment of the people in the chat room. Now, a lot of people say that there's supposed to be a separation of the church, and it never had a role in liberty. Now, there's some things that you need to know about our history. There's a specific link between the clergy and the foundations of liberty in this nation. Did you know that in 1619 there was clergy serving in Virginia's first General Assembly? 1619. See, America didn't start in 1776. 1619 in Virginia, they had pastors and preachers in the General Assembly. Now, John Robinson was the person who shaped the Mayflower Compact in 1620. In 1636, John Cotton started the first public schools. Now, these are all pastors. Roger Williams and John Clark founded the state of Rhode Island, Christian pastors. That was 1636. Now, 1639, Thomas Hooker and John Davenport founded the state of Connecticut, and they had a hand in writing the first Constitution. Two pastors. John Harvard was the pastor who founded the university that bears his name today in 1638. Now, Nathan Ward, another pastor, was writing the Massachusetts Bodies of Liberties in 1641. And, well, of course, we all know about William Penn founding Pennsylvania and writing its frame of government in 1681. Now, a lot of people don't know these names. We know the usual Jefferson, Franklin, you know, Adams, that kind of thing. But do you know who John Wise is? John Wise, very few people know who he is. In 1717, John Wise, who has been called the father of American independence, wrote the Law of Nature and Government, which contains such important ideas that it was reprinted and studied by our founders in 1772 and cited as legal authorities by the Massachusetts Supreme Court sections of this work. It all appears in the and stuff that he wrote appears in the Declaration of Independence. That's John Wise, a pastor. So, and I could go on and on. This book is amazing. America's Providential History. I could take one page and just do show after show just on this. And of course, most of you know this. John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration of Independence. He typified the colonial clergy at the time who literally discipled an entire nation. Witherspoon served as a minister, as president of Princeton College, as a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and on over 100 committees in Congress during our struggle for independence. And this is the guy who said to have more influence on the monetary policies found in the Constitution than any other man. A Reverend John Witherspoon. Now, while president of Princeton, he trained not only ministers, but leaders in all areas of life. One man came to study theology, but biblical principles of law and government were so impressed upon him that he went on to become the chief architect of the Constitution. The fourth president of the United States, that was James Madison. His pastor was John Witherspoon. Now, Witherspoon trained, enabled many young men to go on to do things. One vice president, three Supreme Court justices, 10 cabinet members, 12 governors, 60 congressmen, and the list just goes on. One pastor, John Witherspoon, had that effect on our founding of this nation. weird to me that people can legitimately sit there with a straight face and say that this was not a Christian nation. It was not a Christian nation. Well, that's it there. That was just a result of the emails that I got, people asking the same typical questions. And I try to answer them differently because you guys, I don't want to bore you guys because you know the basics. But I just want to arm you with a few different names and a few different angles to deal with people. I'm finding more and more, though, that we are gaining ground. We have an ambassador from a church in Visalia that comes up here every Wednesday for our Bible study and one Sunday a month. And he's taxing poor Lewis. He goes, I need copies of this. I need copies of that. Because he wants to start handing out the sermons that are being done up here to the people in the church down there. Now, that's not an undermining of one church to another. We're not trying to poach their parishioners, as they say. Poached parishioners are a bad thing. That's not what the body of Christ should do. But it could augment their understanding while they stay in their church and maybe even draw their pastor into examining the documents. Where are you going, Lou? Oh, you could have said you wanted water. I would have handed it to you. You're so sneaky. He's trying to sneak up and steal my water. But what I did today, let's get tactical. Let's get off the heavy brain thunking stuff. I went through two of our get out of Dodge bags, our good bags, our bug out bags, and they're, you know, one sitting right next to me now. And we went through them. Make sure you check the dates on your food. I pulled out some MREs that were 2007 expiration, so they're 3 years past. I'm not even going to try them. I made that mistake once. I took out some stuff out of a canister that I thought was going to be good, and it was just nasty. We had some dried chili and stuff like that, and I took it down to the border, and everybody got the diarrheas, and that was not a good time. So I pay attention to those. You may want to use them as fertilizer or something, whatever. Compost them. Give them to a dog if you got a dog that you don't like that much. I don't even give them to the stray cats we get around here. But make sure you go through your bag every couple of years and check it out. The batteries, again, make sure they're not in the implements that you're using them for in the devices because they will rot through them. I checked our wind-up battery or wind-up flashlight, stuff like that today.
Did you check our freeze-dried water?
Yeah, I checked the freeze-dried water that you have in your pack, Lou. I'm making Lou carry all the freeze-dried water. He doesn't get a canteen or anything. He just has the freeze-dried water. Just add water. Yeah, we actually haven't gone through his pack. I offered him the opportunity. I said, bring your pack out and throw it down in the living room. We'll take a look at it. And he didn't want to do it. But some of the things that we realized, I had my winter gear in there, taking up a lot of space. So I took out the long johns, rolled them up, and put them on the shelf. So those are things you get. I mean, long johns might come in handy, but I don't know. Made sure the tarp was still nice. Made sure I still had enough stuff to make a shelter out of it. Had my poncho liner in there. And went through it. One thing I was surprised, and I don't even know if I had just been using them over the last time I checked, but my knives were dull. I went through my knives and they were dull, so I had to sharpen all my knives again and put them together. I had to adjust the pistol belt for good reasons because I'm getting smaller, so I had to adjust my pistol belt to fit me better. Change the water in the canteens, that kind of stuff out. Maybe added a few things that I didn't have in there. I took out some ammo, though. For my bug-out bag, I don't have a rifle, and I had rifle ammo in there. Because my bug-out bag is the last line of defense. I don't want to be carrying a rifle through the hills, and some people are going to argue with us on this. But I put a lot of thought into it. If I'm bugging out, I'm fleeing for my life. I'm applying the biblical doctrine of running away. You know, run away. I wish we had some Holy Grail sound effects. Run away! Gee, yeah. I want to make as much time and distance between me and the threat as possibly can. And I have a pistol for defense on my hip that I always wear anyway. So I grab the pack. You know, I've got two magazines plus probably 20 or 30 rounds in my belt in my first aid kit. On my belt, I carry a pistol belt, standard pistol belt, web belt. It's just tan. I have a first aid kit just for me, you know, with a triangular bandage, compress, that kind of stuff. My pistol with one magazine in the holster. You know, you've seen those synthetic holsters. They're little fabric holsters. I have one. You probably get two magazines in there. And then on my first aid kit, there's a place for other stuff. And I put a larger high cap mag, 10-round mag. Well, it's not high cap to you guys, but it's high cap to us. Here in California, we can only have 10-round mags. My other ones are 8. And then on the back, if I have to, I can put a butt pack on there. Which is funny, because somebody said yesterday that fanny pack sounds gay, but butt pack doesn't. Are you leaving? It's time to go get the girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
There said they
Just leaving?
Yeah, from Walmart.
So don't give out locations. You don't let anybody know. So you're going to go to the rendezvous point. We're on the air live.
Mm-hmm. So, 6-3.
Okay, yeah, just go to the rendezvous point, and that way we can do it. So get her and bring her back. I can't wait. Hopefully we'll be back before we're off the air so she can say hi to everybody. That'd be cool, especially on Liberty Radio. Thank you. I appreciate you going alone. Unless you want, you can't take Luke, so I can't do the show without him. Yeah. Don't let him hear that. Plug your ears, Lou. I can't do the show without Lou. I can't reach over there and play the music. So you get, be careful. Do the speed limit. Make sure you don't get tagged.
Make sure you don't be in
trouble. Yeah, traveling mercies. Let's pray for her. Yeah, man. Bat Fag says make sure you're not being followed. That's what I want to know. She knows what to do. I've trained her a little bit. Let's hope it's digging in. I'm trying to, and you know, this stuff today, putting our bags together, and I'm always training these two, Lou and Stacy. I don't try and train my daughter too much because she's held hostage more times than she's here. I just, you know, just your prayers on that one. But I try to instill in her to always be ready. Lou, the first thing he does when he comes in the house, he takes his shoes off. And he starts walking around in his bare feet. I go, what are you going to do if they come knocking at the front door? What's up? Lou, why isn't Mark Kornke playing?
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. Got to go to the other side of the building and deal with the FM feed.
I think they
uploaded. Yeah, well, check it. Just go do it. Don't give me excuses. Make it happen. Hup, hup, hup. Yeah, it's tough training some people that have never had any kind of discipline in their lives before. Bye-bye, baby. But, I'm it's my duty as a father. You know, I'm his father. I don't play the whole stepson thing. Lou's my son, and I'm trying to make him realize he's got to do it. He'll get done. He'll be out working in the garden. He'll come in the middle of the day, take his shoes off, and just sit there. And I go, what are you going to do if we have to run? We can do, I mean, something simple like, what if a mountain lion comes down and we got to go out and dispatch it? What if a bear comes down? We got a wounded bear running around or something. I don't know. I'll put on my flip-flops. You're going to fight in your flip-flops. Weird. You know, you got to get this. And some people say it's cruel to try and instill a combat mindset on a kid that's 14, 15. But it's just common sense stuff living in the country. I don't even like to take my boots off to go to bed. And right now, being a gimp, my foot's in one of those big ski boot braces. I hate it. But I've always got to keep my eye on that. I've always got to be in condition yellow. I don't want to be. If I'm in condition white, I'm either dead or asleep. And even then, I mean, last night I got rousted at about 1 in the morning. Sounded like somebody was trying to get into the house. So I grabbed my little tactical man bag, which is a satchel that goes over my shoulder with flashlight, you know, zip cuffs, knife, extra mags for the pistol, the whole thing. I got one pistol, but three systems. And went out, and I just listened first, and I said, this isn't a human, this is some kind of animal. Couldn't see anything out the windows that we have just because of the nature how it is, so I just said, well, this is it. Opened it up, dropped to my knee, put the flashlight up, came face to face with a gigantic possum. Now, we don't keep animal food out. We don't have anything like that. But this possum was just trying to get in. He was hitting the doorknob. He was big enough to get up and flip at the doorknob. So rather than dispatch him with a .45 and annoy my neighbors, I just gave him a little help with the foot that had a boot on it. But you never know. I mean, is it at 1 o'clock in the morning? Is it going to be a possum, you know, going through your stuff? Or is it going to be some guy with nefarious intentions? And is it okay now?
It's not letting me download him.
So no Mark Kornke for Friday. That's kind of weird. We'll deal with it afterwards. Maybe you can download him later.
Well,
something wrong with the...
Playing.
Huh?
It's starting to start playing you.
I can't hear you. Oh, wow. Lou came in. Perfect time. Time for a break. Time for me to get some water. We'll be back in a little bit, and we're going to talk more about preparing our minds and our gear. No, the possum didn't play dead. He ran away. We'll be right back after this.
Let the battle for freedom that guides us today. Our spirit lives on in truth and miracles. Who answers? I'd rather die on my feet than live on.
hear children say the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm reminded there's no price too high for freedom. To keep America first, last and forever, we must stand our ground. As I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'm a patriot. Color me red, white, and blue. Fellow patriots, America's counting. There's no point to life without liberty. So I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. There's no point to life without liberty. So I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
What seems to be the trouble, soldier? You look a little bit worried.
Well, I am, Chaplain. Just a little bit.
Actually, there's no need to be worried, as the Army has taken all of the necessary precautions to see that we're perfectly safe here.
Sir, have you ever been out of one of these shops before?
Yes, I've had the opportunity to see a number of the atomic tests. I feel that as a chaplain, it is my responsibility to be with my men.
What's it like, Chaplain?
First of all, one sees a very, very bright light, followed by a shock wave, and then you hear the sound of the blast, and then it seems as though there's a minor earthquake. And then you look up and you see the fireball as it ascends up into the heaven. It's a wonderful sight to behold.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or collapse.
Tough. I know it's hard, But without the donations, this is going to keep happening, and I apologize. But then again, I can't even guarantee. If we have two satellites, who knows? Maybe if we get a second company like Hughes and we do it back and forth, I don't know. But that's just the problem that we're having with it. It's because we're exceeding our bandwidth, and I've talked to you broadcast. They said, well, you shouldn't even be able to be doing that with a satellite. Just like Skype. We can't use Skype. It worked for a little bit, and then it stopped. So Skype and whatever the protocol for transferring audio over satellite is just the same way. I'm going to ask you this, Lou. Can you do the video camera? Can you try it? Can you hook it up and see if it should already be hooked up, huh? Can you do it? Because I want to show people my bug-out bag. Cause that's what I was going to talk about in this half hour. A lot of people, their bug-out bags might be a duffel bag. That's fine. It might be a ditty bag, you know, just like a tool case, something. But it's got to be, like this. It's got to be more like that. Am I good there?
Okay,
okay, Lou's setting it up. Let me know when we've got it clear. Because I want to show them my... This is not my tactical bag that you're going to be seeing.
There it is. Yeah.
Can you see the bag? That
yeah.
I'm, okay. This is a backpack that I'm using here. I got it at Walmart for $20. They went on sale. I think originally it was $60, and then as they try to get rid of stuff, I probably had this backpack longer than any other piece of my gear, I think, just because I've lost stuff. You guys have heard my whining about my life, and you've heard that I've lost a lot of gear, but this one I've always had because it's always with me. If I know we're going away for 2 days, this thing gets thrown in the trunk in the back of the car. In this bag, and when you're putting a bug-out bag together, it's not a tactical bag. It's literally an escape survival pod. It's something that you want to be able to carry and move fast. It's not very heavy. You don't want it to be any more than 25% of your body weight so you can maneuver. You want it packed smartly so it doesn't throw you around while you're going around. And it's a big, it's a backpack, and it's in a... People keep asking what kind of camouflage it is. It's called Nat Gear. I'm going to turn it around. This is a Nat Gear backpack. What I like about it is it's got the shoulder straps, and then it's also got a handle here, two outside pouches. It's got a top pouch. This one's made by Fieldline. You guys have seen them at Walmart. I don't know where else they sell them. But in the top compartment, I put the things that I have to get to first. Food, first aid, sewing kit, fishing string, parachute cord. Here's my fish hooks. I keep fish hooks in everywhere I go. I keep string everywhere, plus I got to roll a heavy string here. Now, this heavy 100-pound test stuff, this is for tripwire, security, snare material, that kind of stuff. It's actually 150 yards of 100-pound test. I got a can of tuna fish in there. I've got a mixture that I've... Here, let me get that. Excuse me as I fumble around with my foot. The fish hook, stuff like that. I got a first aid pouch in here. I've also got one on my belt that I told you about. But the mixture stuff, you see I've been grazing on it. I got sunflower seeds, M&Ms, peanuts. I just mix it all together. But that's all that kind of stuff. The stuff you have to get to, a compass, a map. Everything is here in the top. Everything is in the very, very top of this. And I can get to it. I can have a buddy. If I've got, Lou with me, I can turn around and say, hey, go into the pack, get out my first aid. Go into the pack, get out the batteries for the comm. On one side here, you'll see I've got a very old handheld 2-meter realistic radio. It's an HTX 202, for those of you that care. I've got it set up for repeaters in the area and simplex, so just radio-to-radio communication. And it takes... I don't have all the rechargeable batteries. This little clamshell comes off the bottom, and you can put alkaline batteries in there. I'm testing it today. This has always got batteries in it because I try to use it quite a bit just so I can keep familiarizing myself with it. And I put it back together, and there you go. And it sits in a pouch on the side, but I can take that pouch off and put it onto my tactical gear if I'm wearing tactical gear, or I can... You'll see it's got a clip. Now, the important thing about this clip, you got to remember, don't remove these clips, especially the metal ones on the older radios. It's also a heat sink. The transistor is in here on the board, and if you're doing a lot of transmission and stuff, I mean, the odds of you doing a 30-minute speech on it, you could warp the board inside, but it's a heat sink as well as a clip. And the way it's got this clip, it fits perfectly on my web gear. If I'm wearing web gear, if not, it'll go on my tactical vest. It'll go on my hunting vest right here, and I can just continue to talk. Now, Stacy has a more modern one that's smaller, but it does just the same thing. The thing I like about this one goes up to 5 watts. It's 1 watt, 5 watts. The newer ones are a little lower wattage. But we have no problem hitting repeaters. We have no problem hitting repeaters. On the other side, you'll see my water. I just have, that's an Aquaback that's just clipped on there. I can take it off, and if I drop the bag, throw it on, I've got it back there. It's a Camelback in an old Molly case. It's one of the other things that I've had for a while. Now you can see there's some blue here. I don't know if you can see it with the lighting or how good our camera is, but I just spray painted it. Nothing fancy, just spray painted it. Now what's cool about this pack is it's got a zipper here. I don't have to open the top to get to the contents inside. I can reach in. Here's a compartment here, and then there's another zipper on this side, and I can get in there. I have to unsnap it, but what you'll see here is a tarp, a green tarp. What I do first, before I put anything in, some people have weatherized, rubberized bags. I just got a green throw tarp. It's camouflage. I got it at the hardware store. It's 9x9. It's not very big. And I lined the whole inside, and I put everything in there. So that way, if it does rain, I know it gets wet. Plus, this is my ground cloth. This is my cover that I use, and it's right there. Here's a whole compartment here. You can put all kinds of stuff in that you need to be ready to get to. Those are the extras, the things that I pick up. Like if I were doing snare lines, this is where I would put the meat that I've cooked the night before in here separate. It's got a weatherproof lining, something like that. You take off some wet clothes, you can put them in there. There's loops all over this pack that you can tie stuff to. You can clip things to. Now, you don't want to be swinging around and sounding like, you know, the pots and pan salesman guy from Green Acres. But I picked this pack because of its versatility, and it's cheap, and it's not an Alice pack. If we're in a post-collapse society, and we're running around, and you've got an Alice pack, the best digital stuff, and you're carrying a rifle, and you're out there, you're going to look like either a target or a danger, and people are going to take you out from a distance without you even knowing about it. One, to take your gear. I do this with just some, you know, khaki pants, and, you know, I've got my pistol that I can cover up with a poncho or a poncho liner that they're never going to see, and I look just like another hobo going along. Now, if they decide I'm an easy target, I can still get to my weapon and dispatch them up close. But I don't want people looking at me off at a distance saying, hey, I like that guy's gear. The other side to that is that there's a bunch of you, and you've all got M1A1s, and you look dangerous, people may leave you alone. But I think more than likely they're going to be preying upon people that are in medium to small size groups, and we're a small group, three. So my goal is to look as less dangerous as possible. Somebody doesn't have a whole lot. What I've got in here, I've got my typical mess kit, military mess kit. I don't have a stove that I carry along. I just kind of fabricate stuff out of cans and things. I've used old coffee cans to make stoves. I do have fire starting material. I have Strike Anywhere matches. I have coffee filters. I have lint from a dryer in here. I have little chemical tabs that you can light. I can start a fire in a pouring down rain. And because of the mess kit that I have, I can start a fire in the mess kit if I have to and put rocks around it if the ground's too wet. So that's in here. I've got one change of clothes, a couple pairs of socks. I've got my poncho liner in there. That's my blanket. That's what I would use. Like Lou, he's got in his backpack, he's got a one-person bivy tent. I have a bivy tent that can attach to the outside of this. I'm deciding whether or not to do that because right now with my injuries and stuff, the added weight, I'll roll up in the tarp if I have to. Stacy and I will put the tarp up like a pup tent. He can use his bivy tent, and we're good to go. Some of the other items are in here for food. People always ask what kind of food. I've got 24 packs of oatmeal, the little single-serving oatmeal that you just add hot water to. I've got a canteen cup. As well as a pot on my other web gear, but I've got a pot in here that I can just heat up the water, throw the oatmeal in. I'll eat oatmeal all day long. What's going on in the chat room?
Fire.
But I've got oatmeal. I've got cheese soups. I've got stuffed all over this place. In packs here, I've got stuff stashed. So that if I do get separated from this, I can at least get something to eat. There's beef jerky in there. What else? There's six beef ramens, you know, the little ramen noodles things, all over in there, stashed all over. I've got a water filtration system in there. Of course, boiling water is a good way to do it. I've got water purification tabs in there. Right here, I can feel I've got sunscreen in there. It's a combination sunscreen, bug repellent. I've got that in there. I put just about everything we need to just disappear. Now, what I don't have is I don't have an entrenching tool. For some reason, we've misplaced the entrenching tool that goes on the outside of this, and I don't know where it ended up. But I've got a survival knife in there. I've got, if I got to dig a hole, I'll be able to dig a hole with a knife. I know everybody's going, oh, you don't use your knife for that. I've got a knife sharpener in there. I've got knives on me, that are always on me unless I'm in the shower. I mean, when I go to bed, my Batman utility belt goes right next to me with my weapon and my flashlight. There are two or three flashlights in here, different battery power. Plus, there's also little tea candles. You know what I'm talking about? The little metal bottom cups that you can put, and you just light them and you throw them in here. You can cook over those. I mean, you get stuff a little warm. That's all you need. The MREs, like I said, that were in there were 2007. I just threw them away. I don't have a dog to eat them, so I threw them away. I didn't want to feed the cats either. I've got lots of line, jute string, line, stuff like that. I've got some copper line in there if I have to make an antenna for my radio. I know the lengths. They're in my head to make a 2-meter long wire full-wave antenna, and there's connectors in there to do that. There's FRS radios. There are three FRS radios in here if we were going to do something close range, and I would hand one to Lou, one to Stacy, and one to I. We're going to pick up a couple more if we... It just seems like every time we get ahead, we get behind. You know, we got broken vehicles and everything. And all that doesn't weigh that much. You would be really surprised. It does not weigh that much. I put it on and have been walking around with it today, even with a bum foot. And I was like, you know, if I had to, I couldn't move fast, but I could go at a pretty steady pace, even if I was crawling, because we got steep hills behind us. And our goal is just to get up over the hill and hide in one of the caves or overhanging areas to get out of the flare, that kind of stuff. And this will do it. Now, if I was the only one with this pack, we could live off of this pack, three people. Maybe four, because my daughter's with us. But Stacy's pack is a different configuration. It's blue. It's a really nice pack we got for $1. $1 at the, what's it called, the Thingery secondhand store. It had a handle on it that needed to be sewn, and that was it. I got a sewing kit in here. I sewed up the handle. We put the same type of mess kit. It's like a Boy Scout mess kit. Little pot, little pan, little plate. We've got forks and knives, little tactical forks and knife things, and I can't find my fork and knife, so I just threw some forks and knives in here today. I had a NATO folding knife, fork and knife thing, and I loaned it out to somebody to use, and now the fork's missing. So, yeah, I don't know what you did with it. Yeah, you probably stuck it in a drawer somewhere. We'll find it when we move someday. But that's another thing. Don't loan your gear out. I'm not going to do it anymore. I got too nice. You know, because Lou decided not to bring his gear. We bought Lou a really nice knife fork thing, and we don't know what he did with it. Yeah, see, he doesn't even remember us getting it for him. But being responsible for your gear is a key thing. And a 14-year-old kid, it depends on the kid. But you maybe have to steward them a little bit. Don't have them carry anything that's dependent. Like, we have a really nice water filtration system. I am not letting Lou carry it. One, it's got a ceramic filter, and if he goes through his pack enough, takes it out of his protective case, he's going to break it. You've got to. If you think the person's going to lose it, break it or something, don't give him the important equipment. Maybe have them carry, especially since he's younger, have him carry more food. Nothing that's, you know, critical to survival as far as, you know, dying immediately because you don't have water. You can live a couple days without food, but you know, if we lose his pack. Don't in the kids' packs, don't put anything that's critical or mission critical or survival critical, but put some things in there. I've got 3x5 cards and pencils in here just for leaving notes behind and some thumbtacks. Let's say we get split up and we have our rally points picked out, and I make it to Rally Point Charlie, but Stacy and Lou aren't there yet, and I have a pre-designated wait times, and I'm going to keep moving. I'll just leave messages or hidden messages. They'll know to look under rocks for this 3x5 card. Things like that. And that's part of your plan. I mean, this isn't going to do you any good if you don't have a plan. If you haven't pre-run the trails that are up here, if I haven't shown them where we're going to run, it doesn't do any good. Because if I'm taken out of it, they're just going to sit here and go, oh, if they don't already know what's expected of them. And you can't, you know, nobody who can predict the future. I mean, if the situation is that critical, they may freeze up, lock up, and not do what they're supposed to, but you can't train with that in mind. You train towards the goal of everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing. So you don't want to sit around with your shoes off, socks off, and feet up when there's a possibility of something bad happening. And I tell you, those of us that are engaged in the holy cause of liberty, the chances of something bad happening to us are exponentially larger than those of the sheep down there that don't want to do anything, right? I mean, I don't mean to seem grim or Chicken Little-ish, but if you think you may be on a list, you probably are. And so it might be better to just be ready. And you don't have to have a big pack like this, because of the terrain we're in. I plan on going up there and hiding for several days and waiting them out while they tear up our houses and confiscate our guns if I can't get out. And then you move on to a cache where you have other stuff stored, and I've talked about that on other shows. You have to have a cache. But the bug-out bag, the get-out-of-dodge bag, some people call it the goodie bag, get-out-of-dodge.
Armageddon sack.
Huh?
Armageddon sack.
Armageddon sack. We heard some people in, I think it was New Mexico, that one of our brothers had contact with over the past week. They call them Armageddon packs, and they're by their doors. These normally would be found by our front door. I just brought it over to show you today because it was a little bit of show-and-tell like I did with the Mosin Nagants a couple months ago. But you've got to have one of these. You've got to have the stuff pre-arranged and pre-staged. Wow, I didn't realize there were so many people listening. Yeah. Yeah, look at all the guests. Look at Lily 308. Woo! Oh, I got to shut up my computer. It's starting to talk again. Romano's on there again. Let's do this. But you've got to get these things ready. Now, if you disagree with me and you think you need more than a pistol, your weight is going to go up because you're going to be carrying probably, what, 20, 30, 40, 50 rounds of ammunition for your long gun. Your hands are going to be busy. So you're going to need a sling on that rifle so you can carry it, you know, either tactically or shoulder arms. I don't want to do that in a bug-out situation. This is not a tactical bag. My tactical gear I'll show you probably in a couple weeks, where it's basically just web gear with a big fanny pack, my rifle, and enough food for just me and enough supply for me, you know, medical supply for me and water gathering and containment for 3 days. That's it. That's my tactical bag. I have knives. I said that earlier. I have multiple knives in the bag. We're going to have... what's the word I'm looking for? I've got a just a tactical knife that's just a piece of metal that's sharpened. I have an Air Force survival knife that's made by Ontario Knives. That's my best knife. I got it at a pawn shop. Yeah, Lou's got like a bayonet that somebody gave him for Christmas or something, and it's like a $110 knife. And I'm like, this kid doesn't deserve it. I don't let him take it out of his pack because he'll lose it. But you want to get a good knife that holds a good edge on it. I'm not an expert on knives, but I talk to people who are, and I just say, this is what I'm going to get. You get what you pay for in a knife. Those $10 Rambo knives are going to go dull on you, and a person cuts themselves more likely with a dull knife. So, yeah, I do have knives in there. I mentioned that I've got a couple. I've always got knives on my person. One knife that I always carry is a Gerber knife. It's a razor blade knife. I don't know if you can see it. When I took the tactical knife class, I pulled this out, and everybody laughed, and the instructor looked at me, and he goes, oh, you're aware of the Gerber knife. And we were using pigs to cut up, you know, tactically. And I went up, and I was, ooh, that's awfully loud. You can't bring it in so loud. I did a deeper cut with this than people did with 8-inch blades. We're going to be back after the break. We'll be coming in on Liberty Tree Radio. Liberty Tree Radio. And so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets soaking up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes. You couldn't help at all, but you fought all the way, Johnny Rip, Johnny Rip. You fought all the way, Johnny Rip. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. Cause you fought all. You fought all the way, Johnny.
Tony Toll a great victory bowl, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way.
Message from your government. Although victory in Europe has been accomplished, the demands on our food supply have not been lessened. You can help relieve the food shortage by preserving your own fruits and vegetables. Home canning is a wartime necessity. Knowing the proper techniques and methods in home canning is important, and you can get expert advice by simply writing the Department of Agriculture, Washington 25, D.C. Remember, there must be no letdown this year. Home canning is one of the nation's most important jobs on the home front in 1945.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch, Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, it's about as different as it gets. We're back live. We're streaming video today. Doing a little bit of show and tell on my get out of Dodge bag. One of the things that people always forget is they think, oh, I'm going to go run into the hills and get away from the, you know, from the bad guys, and I'm not going to have to use the facilities. Well, what I do is I don't carry around rolls of toilet paper. That's kind of miserable. That's pretty good. I'm sounding real good, though. You got the music level good now. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. we've been doing a little bit of show and tell here in the previous hour. I want to welcome our Liberty Tree radio listeners. I almost forgot we switched over. We're coming to you live from the Church of Cahuilla from the Research Center, and we're in our little cave here in the Law Center. And what we're doing today is I'm just showing my bug-out bag. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there already know what that is, your get-out-of-Dodge, your bug-out bag. But the thing that's different about what we do is I'm cheap, I'm frugal, and I need to do things that because I just don't have money. I'm not going to go out and be able to buy a case of MREs. I'm not going to be able to go and buy the latest tactical stuff, and that's all we can do. These wet wipes came here, 10 each in a packet. This was at the dollar store, a buck. Now, I had another one. I tested it. They're still wet. It's great. They're antibacterial. Great for wiping the hiney. People forget about that. Now, you can throw a roll of toilet paper in there, but I can tell you that stuff goes real fast because it's dry. It's not quick. You don't get as clean. And I can tell you from personal experience, when you're in a tactical situation, the last thing you want to be dealing with is diaper rash. Now, you'll find in my gear, everywhere I can, I put coffee filters. No. Coffee filters. They're great for all kinds of stuff. No, I don't use them for filtering coffee. Pre-filtering water for your water purification bottle. You want to get the big, this will get the contagious hepatitis out, but these will get the big chunks out. This is a three-stage filter system that's in here. You can get them all over the place. This one's made by Extreme. I've got three or four of these. It's got an inline. It starts with a carbon filter. It's got all kinds of stuff. Anywhere from $28 to $100, depending on where you buy them. I always like the ones that are squeezy because it takes a lot of pressure to suck the water through the filter, so if you can squeeze it, it kind of helps. And they're limited. They have a limit on what they'll do. It'll usually clog the filter and stop working, so that's what I use for filtering water in this one, although we have multiple layers of filter. We have survival straws. I'm going to go on more about the wondrous material called coffee filter. I already told you you can pre-filter water. You can use it for toilet paper if you have to. You can use it for kindling. You can there's all types of things you can do. People use them for bandages, I've seen. So coffee filters are cheap. You can wad them up, and you stick them all over the place. I put them in the cooking material containers that I have, and I usually we buy them in, you know, big tubes of them. Stacy actually drinks coffee and uses them, so I'm always stealing them from her, and she gets mad. I talked about the food. Simple Top Ramen. I don't have the luxury of getting MREs, but here you go. A lot of carbs right there, a lot of salt, whatever. You get your water. Not the healthiest thing in the world, but the last thing I'm worried about is my health from internally eating when people are trying to poke holes in me or chasing me. Now, the other packet I told you, I've got multiple packets of instant oatmeal from different brands, all spicy. I don't put plain. Plain's kind of boring. Yeah, someone says a coffee filter is better than a pine cone. So, let's see. We've got that. I've got beef jerky in here. One of the things that people... These instant mashed potatoes, and I can't get them. I double bagged this. I double bagged a lot of the food that may leak. Powdered eggs. I've got powdered eggs in here, and they leak, so I double, triple bag them. But instant mashed potatoes that come in the 4-serving packets, and all you have to do is add hot water. There were 3 for $1 at the grocery store, so we bought a bunch of those. And I get the ones, not just the plain ones. I get like the chunky garlic, chunky chive, so it's got some body to it. And you mix them up, you know, you get your mess kit, you get your water boiling, you use your canteen cup and whatever, and you put it in there. Mashed potatoes are great, especially if they're warm, they'll warm you. I told you before that I lost my NATO mess kit. Cheap little fork and knife right in my mess kit here. I've got aluminum foil in here. I've used aluminum foil before to make a pot. Make a little box out of the aluminum foil. You never know what you're going to use it for. I've always got it in there. This is just a Boy Scout mess kit. We found 3 of these at a secondhand store for, I think they were $2 a piece, and we bought them. And they also came with little tiny pots that we've put in here. Here's the pot that goes with them. That goes inside there. Very light, and yes, I think they're aluminum. Everybody's worried about getting Alzheimer's from these. I'm not going to cook out of these in the rest of my life, but survival-wise, I want lightweight. I'm not going to be carrying around cast iron pots. And yes, mashed potatoes are a great morale booster. I can live on oatmeal for breakfast, mashed potatoes with whatever I can snare for lunch, and ramen with whatever herbs or natural plants thrown in there. I can live on that, especially if I'm, you know, if I'm fighting, I'm going to have a different attitude. I'm not going to be saying, man, I wish I had a Big Mac. I'm going to be thankful for every packet of these, every single packet of these. And I try to instill that in my family. I told you we got a bag with, right in here, extra batteries, FRS radios, and, of course, more 550 cord. We put that everywhere. Now, another thing that people don't think about, now, we're up here in the hills. We're rednecks. We always wear a lot of camouflage. But what if you're hit while you're going to a business meeting and you've got a tie and a suit? You want to have a change of clothes in here. And I don't care if it's summertime or winter. I get long sleeve. These are all Walmart camouflage. Not military. I'm not going to look like a threat. The New World Order is not going to be coming after me thinking, you know, I'm some paramilitary. I'm just some guy hiding. May give me an edge. Lou's wearing the balaclava. I can never pronounce it over his head right now. I'm not going to show it. But you... I don't even know what patterns these are. It's Real Tree, I think is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Real Tree. I'm trying to read it. Hardwoods. We got these for $2 a piece at Walmart. And throw the long sleeve shirts in there. You don't have to worry about camouflaging your hands. I've got tactical gloves in here. Here's my poncho liner. This is one of the things I've kept over the years. It's actually losing a lot of its filling. But it's a sentimental. It's my whoopee. I like to have it. It makes me feel good. And if I'm miserable, you know, I wrap up in the tarp here with this. My body heat stays in. I'm good to go. Let's see. That's, what's this here? I got, oh, the ever-present. And you're going to say, well, why does he want all that weight? Well, this is a surprise for everybody. This is Dollar Store Black Label Spam. It's not Spam. It's called Jamanada. I don't care what it is. It's meat. I dice this up, fry it up, throw in some grease or whatever, grease. throw in whatever I got.
Grease.
Mix it with the mashed potatoes. This is a luxury item. This is something that's like, hey, I got meat, just in case I don't snare something. So I don't mind carrying around the extra, what is it? Let's see, it's here in Spanish, 12 ounces. It's 12 ounces, plus I can use the can as a cup. I can use it to cook in. It'll cook right in it. So I've got that. I got a pair of pants in the bottom here, and that's about it. I want to be able to survive 3 to 5 days with what I've got in this bag and be able to put as much distance between me and whatever danger it is. I don't care if it's a forest fire. I don't care if it's Johnny Law coming after me for some drummed-up warrant. I don't care if it's the Chinese. You need to have a bag like this for everybody in your family. Now, the kids' bags, you'll have them a little lighter. I even have a bag for my 9-year-old daughter, and it's basically got things to keep her occupied. Just right. Practice. You don't want to be doing it in the pouring rain when people are, you know, hunting for you. You want to be able to do it now. You want to use, you know, everything that you're learning, you want to try and use it as much as you can in the best situations over and over again, and then look for poor situations. Don't always train in the best of weather. Take this pack sometime and go see if you can survive on it. Go camping and do bare minimum camping. I used to do it all the time with my first wife. Maybe that's why I'm divorced. But I would say, no, we're just going out with what we got. You know, we're going to eat ramen. We're going to do cold camp a couple nights, you know, for security, for practice. She hated it. We've done it here a few times, and it worked out well. And you got to keep doing it. You just got to keep doing it. You can't. I keep looking at the camera like it's on. It's off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look at my computer now. We sometimes get into a period of comfort because we're like, oh, well, you know, I've got all this gear. I listen to the great radio programs. I'm up on everything. I've got the best training videos. You know, I go hunting twice a year, you know, duck hunting and deer hunting. I go to Colorado. I do all this stuff. I'm prepared. I'm totally prepared. Well, you're not unless you can learn to survive with just about nothing. And you have to, it's just like dressing for the cold. You dress in layers. If I have to dump this pack, I got things on my belt right now that I can survive with. I've got some sugar packets in here. I got, you know, if I need a burst of energy, I've got tools to get to things. I've got materials to catch animals if I have to. I got a way to make fire. That light keeps going off and on up there like it's on. Is it on or not?
It's not on.
Yeah, I keep seeing the green light flashing. But the real thing I'm trying to get here is you have to do this. A lot of people, they go out, they get a rifle, they get 2 or 3 pairs of camouflage. Sorry about the noise, but I'm starting to put my stuff away. Sounds like I'm doing dishes. And they think that's it. They think that there's going to be, you know, great militia camps that they can just roam into like the Confederacy had and go, hello, brothers in arms, feed me. What if you get there and it's a scenario where they don't have any food? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll put this away later. I mean, it's kind of distracting. I just wanted you to step out of front of me. You're being derelict and you're taking yourself out of the fight if all you do is show up with your 200 rounds of ammo, a canteen full of water, and your steel pot, and you go, I'm here. What if it takes 4 or 5 days to get there? What if you get cut off of the main force once you're there? When I was in the military and we were doing patrols in Central America, I used to strip down 3 or 4 MREs, the main meal components, and stick them all over my body. You know, I had stuff in my side cargo pockets, I had stuff in my breast pocket. In the cold weather, I'd have stuff stuffed everywhere. Cocoa packets, whatever, just things to make my life a little better. What if you get taken prisoner? Maybe, you know, some partisans for the other side capture. You might need something to trade. Don't think that all you need to be able to do is shoot straight and run. Now, I shoot okay, and I can't run anymore. And so I'm making preparations here to at least make my position a little more comfortable. You know, a little. I have 3 or 4 layers of how to make a fire. Yeah, Lily308's asking about Ranger cookies. I remember those. We had Dead Duke Bar, or excuse me, John Wayne bars. I called them Dead Duke bars. They used to get real mad at me, the 5th Special Forces guys we were with. But there's all kinds of things you can do. And it doesn't take a whole lot of money. throw on a couple pairs of socks and some insoles into your pack, wedging them in somewhere, are ounces. Ounces. Like, I was messing around with my TA-50, my web gear. You guys call it web gear. I put, like, 80 rounds of 45 in there just to see how much of a difference it would make. It was miserable. So, you know, I'm going to carry 4 or 5 mags of 45, and that's about it. I think I was talking to Lily 308 today, if this is the same Lily from Facebook. We have coupon guns. We have Mosin-Nagant rifles. You guys saw the one that I sporterized. The other two I keep the way they are. They're coupon guns. Not that there's anything wrong with the Mosin-Nagant. I'm going to use it to hit a mobile supply pod and take his gear. But I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm not well-fed, well-hidden, have something to cover me from the sky, like, you know, so the view of up above, like this tarp, this camouflage tarp right here, you know, you can hear it. It's a big tarp, 9x9, and I lined it in there, and I got all this gear in there, and it doesn't weigh that much. And there's enough food for me in there for about a week, I would say. If I eat maybe 2,500... thanks, Lily, now I know who it is. The same amount I can thin out. You know, you need about 4,000 calories a day to fight or survive. But soldiers have gotten by for a lot longer. Look at the siege at Bastogne. Look what the Japanese were able to do in handfuls of rice. It's another thing. Our bigger packs, you know, we have a big family red duffel bag kind of looking thing. Beans, rice, powdered eggs, freeze-dried foods, whatever we can get in there. You know, and a big pot. And yes, it's aluminum. Put it all. Oh yeah, Lily's given the recipe for the Ranger bars. It's sugar, coffee, chocolate, all mashed together, and you bake it in your canteen cup. And on guard duty. See, I didn't like the coffee, so I left the coffee out. But I used to make that too. And I'm doing. And my kids, they think I invented it. I'm always making them these chocolate cakes, and it's just cocoa and Bisquick. That's another thing. We carry Ziploc bags of Bisquick just to add. Look at hardtack and all those things that soldiers survived upon. Little things will help. And you can stow them away. You don't have to carry them everywhere with you, but if you're dropping your packs in a cache somewhere and then you're advancing on another location, at least you know you can rally back to that point and you'll have food there. There's nothing worse than coming in after a long patrol and going to bed without eating because there's no food. And it's funny, the only time I've had to do that was when I was in the National Guard and there was poor planning in Colorado. Before I went into active duty and after I got off active duty, you know, it'd be like, oh, Jack in the Box down the road is closed. There's nothing left in the armory. When I got out of the army and did like a year in the Colorado Army National Guard, they still, and this is like 91, they still had sea rats. I'm not going to eat those. I mean, if I was in a starving survival situation, yeah, but every can of sea rats I ever opened just for fun smelled like Alpo. Now, those of you that are old enough that know what it's like know that sea rats were terrible. MREs are great. I don't know why everybody complains about MREs. Other than the pork patty and I think the pork patty was the worst thing I ever had. This new stuff that they got that I haven't been able to find yet because I don't have the money to buy new ones, but the new stuff sounds very palatable. But I don't want to rely on MREs. I want to rely on my own stuff. One of the things you don't see in here, like that I would probably throw in if we had the money, chewing gum, little packets of cheese and crackers, those kind of things, I would add those in. We just don't have them right now. We've been, to move on to another level, to prepare for a possible crash, we're going and taking about $200 to $300 a month, which is nearly a third of our income, and just buying canned food. Long storage food that way, you know, because it's easy for us to get. And, a meal in a can, ravioli, spaghetti, SpaghettiOs, I can't remember what it is, but Hormel's just has all these different Mexican foods that are in a can. You heat up one can, that's it. You got everything there. And then we're buying corn and peas and string beans, which I hate, but you got to have them because we got to keep, you know, different things up. And, you know, we want to grow those things too eventually, but if we have to bug out, we want to be able to throw 4 or 5 crates, you know, so we have 30 days supply of food. And it's the poor man stuff. I mean, I know you can go out and buy the freeze-dried food, you get like 12 packets in there for like $60 or something. I don't even know what it all is anymore. But I just can't do that right now. So I'm going down, looking at the dates and getting stuff that's, you know, good for 2 or 3 years, and we'll rotate it out. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. And if you don't do it as a lifestyle, you wake up to horrible surprises like I did one day in my attic when I found an earthquake kit that had been up there for like 11 years, and I opened it and it was like, eee. What I think had happened is that the apple juice and tomato paste cans had rotted through and made this soup that was just dastardly. And it'll teach you to be a little more frugal and a little more appreciative of what you have now. We don't eat a lot of steak. We don't eat a lot of fresh meats. But we got a lot of cans of Spam, a lot of canned ham stored up. And like I said, it becomes a lifestyle for us. And it's a different caliber. I'm talking, you know, the people on Liberty Tree Radio have been, you know, their hardcore listeners have been doing this for years. I'm not telling you guys anything you haven't heard. But this is to the sheeple and to the newly awakened and to the people that just didn't get a chance to hear this anywhere. I was fortunate. I was raised by a modern-day Jesse James kind of guy who was always on the move, and you never knew when someone was going to be knocking on the door. You know, God uses negative situations like that so that I can come out positive. At least I hope I do. I'm still being worked on. The Lord's still ain't done with me yet. And I try and apply it, and I try and teach it to people who will listen. I try and teach it to my family. Waste nothing, want nothing. Never take more than you're planning on eating. I love people who, I've been over their houses and, you know, they're serving, you know, a nice little meal, and they make like 30% more than they need, and they just throw it away. They don't even own Tupperware or Ziploc bags. My goal is that every meal, boom, you eat everything there. And you're not hungry. There's a science to that. Make sure, you know, you peel just the right amount of potatoes. You know, you open the perfect amount of can of beans. You don't open too much. I hate having leftovers. One, they get forgotten. And two, it's a sign that you're not being wise and a good steward of the resources that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And everybody has to be on board with this. And I can tell you, it's not easy for me or for Stacy, because one of the sins we have is we like to buy stuff. You know, we get to the middle of the month and we're like, dang, when's the next paycheck coming in, Stace? I don't know. We don't have enough money to do this, to do that, you know, and now I can't work with my, you know, gimped foot with a torn Achilles tendon. You know, at least what I know to work. And this could be the emergency. I mean, you know, we may have to rely upon our stashed food. I don't want to in this scenario. I'd like to think that, you know, we'll get paid, and the people that are promising to pay us for things that they've ordered will come in. It's never enough. We're never going to have more than we need. Well, let me not put it that way. The Lord always provides exactly what we need, but we never get what we want. You know, and maybe that's the difference. Maybe I need to figure out what God thinks I need, and I need to be online with that. See, I'm still in the process. I would like to have enough that I can grow. And not just sustaining our level of preparedness, but I want to be able to, like, okay, I got a stash here, I got a stash there. You know, we put stashes at relatives' houses, stuff like that. I don't have anything that's, you know, unprotected out in the field, because they're looking for that stuff now. They say they're out looking for, you know, the stashes because of the marijuana growers. They got today's paper, they found, you know, more stuff. And they're not looking for it. They've got some technology. I don't know if it's on the ground or in the air, but they can find these stashes now in the hills around here. So if I have a stash, it's something I can see, or it's somewhere I know, you know, at somebody's house in the back of a garage, you know, it's a pallet full of stuff, or, you know, a couple of milk crates full of cans and, you know, things like that. I do the same for other people. I got people stashing stuff here, you know, just in case. And that's a wise thing to do, especially our family, you know, our church family and our militia family of folks that are in communities, you know, urban settings. Because if you get nothing else from the show, you know that I'm not big on cities. You got to get out. Warland says they may be using dogs in the chat room. That's possible. I mean, I'm sure you can smell Spam under 6 feet of dirt if you're a dog. I mean, they're amazing what they can do. I've worked with cadaver dogs and tracking dogs. You know, I've not handled them, but I've seen what they can do in things that I've been involved with. And dogs are amazing. They may be doing that. But it's the lifestyle. It's the attitude. It's, you know, and it's not easy to do. I'm not going to kid you. And sometimes it's stressful. I've gotten into a groove where I find this way. It's like I have this warrior survivor mentality probably 90% of the time when I'm awake. I walk into a room, I look for exits, I scan to see who's wearing a weapon, do I know them? And you got to realize we all carry weapons up here, so if somebody who comes to church, you know, they've been listening and they wear a weapon, that's cool, but we keep an eye on them. It's having a warrior attitude. I go, okay, I'm yellow, but I'm going to take it to orange because I don't know who this guy is. But he has a God-given right to carry that weapon, and I'm not going to tell him no, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be stupid and just go, oh, you know, he must be one of us. But I'm always in that mode when I can, you know, and we all let our guards down, you know, from time to time, you know. Even the way I when I go down off this hill, off this sanctuary, off this stronghold, off this place that we have chosen to gather, I try to make sure that I'm not being followed. I try to make sure that, you know, I'm not standing out. I don't go wear all my camouflage and I go to Walmart down in Visalia. You know, I don't go in there with a big old rebel flag on my back. We're going to be back after the break if I can find the control knobs that are on the pot. I'm Dutch Jones. We'll be right back after the break. Check out DutchJones.tk, please.
If you have the soul and the spirit, never fear it, you'll see it through. The strong obey when a strong man shows them the way. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder, and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together, man to
convict. I'm an outlaw. I'm a rebel. I'm not a Sunday school teacher.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without
got a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm just finishing up a letter. Someone's listening. Michael, thank you for your letter. I can't answer it now when I'm on the air, and I can't go into it even more. I have to back off. He's a listener. He's obviously African-American, and he sent me a very good email saying he likes what we're talking about, but he doesn't like my Confederate flag, and this is the first time I've gotten a letter from anyone. It doesn't matter if they're black, white, pink, blue, and they didn't get ignorant in the letter about the Confederate flag, and he's asking for a discourse on it, a discussion about it, and I'm just letting him know I'll write more later. I am on the air, as you know. Let me do that. And I look forward to that. I love that. It's funny. Our church flies the Confederate flag, and we have black people that come to the church, and they understand it, and we go over it all the time. So I'm happy for a chance to an obviously intelligent person, regardless of his race, is reaching out to us. He likes the show, and he says he'd love to stand with us. He likes the information that goes out. He's probably a Liberty Tree listener, just because they seem to be a little more intelligent than the folks I tend to run into on Facebook. So I'm looking forward to this, and I can't, if you're listening right now, Michael, I can't do it this weekend, but I promise I will get to you before the middle of next week. I'll have to give you, you know, some sightings and things like that. I don't want to just leave you out on a limb there. Usually I use the flag as a filter. If somebody calls me up or sends me an email telling me I'm an idiot and I'm a racist, and especially if they call me a Nazi, I'm like, okay. But this guy was very good in your letter. Thank you for that. And nobody calls the show anymore. They're sending IMs and letters, and that's fine. If you feel comfortable doing that, if getting on the air makes you a little nervous, I understand. I haven't even given out the phone number because I'm just getting tons of IMs and things through the Facebook. I went through Facebook today. I removed everybody who had a swastika on their website or had some type of National Socialist Alliance. When people send me, friend requests, I really need to get in the habit of checking them out before, because I get so many. I get five or six a day. I get a couple hundred emails a day now because of this show. And several of them are like 10 to 20 from the same people. I'll get these friend requests. Hey, I listen to your show. I want to be a friend on Facebook. And I'll just click it. But what I need to do is I need to sit down, and maybe now with my foot being messed up, I can do it. But I went out and maybe removed 20 or 30 people because it turns out they were Nazis. A lot of them are Europeans. There's a lot of people listening in Europe, as we know. And they think that the militia cause here is a cause of race, that it's about a difference between the races. Like, and they obviously don't listen to the show all the time, because I'm not racist. When I was talking about the cop that shot the guy on the subway yesterday, I think it was, and I went on my rant about how I don't like cops, I keep trying to tell people it has no. Some people are saying, oh well, he was black and he probably deserved it. I actually got an email like that. And quite honestly, if you have that kind of mindset, I don't want you listening to my show. I want you to go out to the woodshed, and I want you to take a large blunt item and hit yourself in the face four or five times instead of listening to my show. I don't want to deal with ignorance like that. Because if they can shoot a black man, they can shoot a white man, they can shoot a red man, they can shoot a yellow man. It's not about race. The New World Order doesn't see race. It sees them and us, and that's the way I look at it. And from a Christian standpoint, I don't understand you guys that are Christians listening to the show that tell me, send me this racist stuff. And there's only a few of you. Maybe I'm too polite, but Jesus Christ died for everyone. We're of one blood, period. And and all men, regardless of race, because there really is just one race. We're all human beings. I studied genetics in college. You know, there's some weird things like, you know, sickle cell anemia, transfusions with Russians was kind of weird there for a few decades until we started, intermingling. But basically, we're all the same species. There are subgenetic categories, but that's it. Things that climate affected and, you know, and God put us in places where he wanted us to be. And he changed us a little bit to adapt to those climates. Not an evolutionist. I'm not a partial evolutionist. I think that God created, you know, the human beings different because he had different causes for them to fulfill, but we're all his creation. We're all his children. And I go the other way, too. People will say, well, then why do you have Ku Klux Klan people on your friends list? I preach to them. There's no room in the militia for racists. And I don't think it's going to work because I think that will just lead to a bloody... It'll be like the French Revolution. We'll get the New World Order off our backs, and then the idiots will start deciding, well, we don't want any whites in our neighborhood. We don't want any Asians in our neighborhoods. You know, we don't want any... what's another one? Let me pick one out. We don't want any of them Belgians, those stinking Belgians, those waffle heads. I've been trying to come up with a racial, you know, a national slur for Belgians. Yeah, I was calling them leapers, and I don't know why. But other than the French, I get along with everybody. And I'm sorry, but it's more about what's in your heart than what's on your skin that I care about. I will judge you by your fruit. And so I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad that you asked that question in an intelligent way instead of just attacking me like so many people do. And it doesn't matter if they're black or white. I get attacked by just as many whites for having the Confederate flag on our website. And sometimes I'll do the show and I'll have the Confederate flag in the background behind me. Some of our videos, I get the Confederate flag behind me. That is the flag of St. Andrew. It's a Christian flag to me. It stands for states' rights. And I will just say this and I will move on. Lincoln did not free the slaves. The War of Federal Aggression was no more about freeing slaves than World War II was about freeing the Jews. In fact, the War of Federal Aggression made slaves of us all. And much better men than me discuss that on their radio shows, but I know what I know. And no one was freed from that war. Sadly. And we could discuss slavery all day. There are biblical forms of slavery. Some of my ancestors were slaves, and they were white folks. So, and slavery exists today. Still today, it's disgusting. We talk about it all the time when I go on my border issues, about the human slaves that are brought across, the sex slaves, the working slaves. And it's just sad. But I'm glad that we have more in common. He said that in his letter, and he wants, you know, he just wants to see where I'm coming from. He likes the message of this show, and I have a feeling he's probably a Mark Kornke listener. He just has that air of intelligence about him. I don't think he's somebody who just stumbled upon us, and if he did, that's great too. So welcome. I hope you continue to listen, and I promise you I will correspond with you, and if you're in our area, I would love for you to come to our church. I didn't take time because I didn't have a short time on the break, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about. I am the recruiter for this church. Everybody's a recruiter for this church. Anybody that goes here, we're supposed to evangelize and invite people out. And it's been pretty hard lately. Not because of our message, just because people are just busy focusing on keeping their houses, keeping their jobs, and they just don't have time to fellowship. So just make sure if you ever are interested in coming out to visit, just email me. You come. We got right now we got three vacant homes. They're mobile homes and that are vacant that you can come and stay for a weekend and go to church with us and check it out. There is a courtship involved. We had a guy show up last year just at the front door and said, hey, I want to live here. You can't do that. I wouldn't do that to you, and you shouldn't do it to me. That's just rude. If somebody's needy, that's different. I mean, they got no place else to go. That's a different scenario. But if you want to come out here for vacation, want to check us out, want to see what we're all about, that's the time to do it. If you're making your vacation to Central California, you're going to be going camping, do it. Come on out. Camp on our property. We're not going to charge you. And hopefully real soon we'll have the shower up in the research center. We have a lot of modified homes that we've made into functional purpose buildings. But you can always use my shower in my house. But that's great. You know, we want you to come out here and check us out. We've made offers to people. Come check us out. If you're looking to move out here, the problem with moving out here to California is there's just no stinking jobs. You know, it's like 25% unemployment where I'm at. You know, even the illegals are out of work here. I've been seeing less and less of them because the farms are drying up. They haven't turned on the water. There's been, you know, we had all this water and the snowpack just flowing out to the ocean because the hippies won. The rivers were ripping. We had a lot of people drowning because they just didn't respect the river. Now the river's going down and the snow's missing on the mountain. I think there's a little speck of snow way up like around 14,000 feet. But it's real dry, it's real hot, and the farms are dying. So unless you've got a business you do on the internet, you weave up little things and you sell them on the internet, you know, come out here, check it out. And I know it's California, but we are on the front lines. Why should we give any more ground? Chuck says, I'm still slowly going through, what are we talking about here? Bork's book. Dutch, if I can escape the People's Republic of Massachusetts, I'd certainly not enter another liberal police state like California. Well, yeah, you know, that's kind of a, you're already in the fire. It's not like frying pan into the fire there, bat fag. The problem is that people have written off California. Even I've written off everything south of Tejon Pass, Grapevine, some of you know it as. And we got listeners down there, and they get mad when I say that. Just like I get mad when people in Iowa say, well, California should just be cordoned off and just let it rot. God's put me here, and there's a reason why I'm here. I'm fighting here. We fight right now. We're going through the first levels. You know, we're petitioning. We're protesting. We're trying to do everything we can do to slow the creep of socialism here, communism. Doing everything we can. And we're as Lou misused it the other day. We're monkey wrenching as much as we can too, and we're preparing for worse. They know it, and we know it. The cool thing is that this state is headed for a fall, a complete collapse. And we talk about vacuums of power. Who's going to fill it? And as Christians, we can't walk away from this. There's a great opportunity here. If that power vacuum can be filled by God-fearing men and women, it's an opportunity. If you go to, it's kind of funny, if you go to survivalblog.com, California is like in the top, I think it's 12 places, because he recognizes James Wesley Rawls. I get that right, Lou? He recognizes the potential for the port cities, the farmland, the mountains, and even the folks that are talking about putting together Jefferson. We're doing what we can. What's he saying? Dutch, you actually made an interesting point about the post-collapse. I'm not sure. Keep typing, Batfag. I'll read it. I don't understand where your argument is. We may be able to fill that void, and we have... Oh, my daughter's here. Hang on, guys. I haven't seen my daughter in like 3 weeks. Come here. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. Oh, I love you and I miss you. Thank you for bringing her back safe, Stace. I've only got a few minutes left. I got 15 minutes left, Anthea, if you want to sit here. And let me get all my junk out of the way. I did a show and tell with all my toys here. So we'll put them back in the pack. So go ahead and ride the... She's going to help me out. Stacy's going to help me out. You got an echo?
Stacy, you mean...
I mean, Anthea, why... Somebody's saying we have an echo. Double loop. I don't know what that's from. I'm not feeding... Do you have an audio on over there, Lou?
No.
Make sure you don't.
Oh, probably extra windows.
Yeah, bat fag. I mean, I that's what I honestly believe. I believe that the Lord has placed several Christians here so that when this state falls apart, maybe we... I don't think we're going to get the whole state. I'm not... Well, you know, with God, anything's possible. We have a duty here to stay here until the Lord tells... 3 years ago, we were talking about this. It was me, the pastor, and about three other people. We're going to hoof it to Idaho or Oregon. We said, there's just no way we can win. There's nothing going on. And then God started showing us different signs. He gave me a wife.
Hello.
My child was moved farther north in California, and I don't want to leave her. I have a duty as a father. I'm not going to leave this state as long as my daughter is still here. And when she can make the decision to go with me, then we'll go. Of course, in a crisis situation, you all know what I'm going to do as a dad. Now, Bad Fact says portions of this state could be seceded. Yeah. You know, I'm already a secessionist. I mean, I'm all about states. I don't recognize the federal government for anything except commerce, relations with other nations, and supposedly defending our border. I don't want anything to do with the federal government. And if California can't be won, then I will retreat to Idaho. There are preparations already made for that. I don't know if any of our Idaho people are in here in the room. I don't see them. Montana, who knows? We just can't abandon everything. I mean, sure, this may end up like Sodom and Gomorrah and get zapped, but not until we make sure that there isn't even one righteous man left standing, right? He may call all of his people just to flee to Idaho or Utah or something. Who knows? Utah would be kind of funny, you know. They kind of like their privacy and their independence over there. I don't know what they'd do if a bunch of conventional Christians just showed up over in Utah, let's say.
Or Montana.
Well, Montana could handle it, I think. But they don't like the city folks. We have a stigma on us because we're in California. I'm not even from California. In reality, I was born in South Weymouth, Massachusetts. I was born in a hospital in Boston. And my family was living in South Weymouth, you know, way back then in the last century. So I'm a Yankee. But I was raised from the age 5 off and on in Colorado and other western states. I call Colorado my home. But I've been here since 1992. And here it is, you know, what is that, 18 years I've been here. I've probably been here longer than any one place in my life. You know, the state's big, so I've moved around inside of it. But I have a feeling the Lord's going to give us a warning. He's going to send a lot. He's going to send some people out, and they're going to go, you people need to get out. Just like, let's talk about the Armenian Holocaust. It was like an 8 or 9 year old boy, I think, that warned all the Armenians that the Turks were coming. Mm-hmm. And several hundred thousand listened and left, and then 1 million or 2 million didn't and died. Yeah. And just because that was the last century doesn't mean there can't be another slaughter like that from our enemies.
Right.
And just because we don't like it doesn't mean we don't get to choose where the Lord puts us. Look at Jonah. I'm not comparing myself to Jonah by any means. I'm not a prophet or a, you know, I'm a very, in the Lord Jesus Christ toolbox, I'm like the little tiny screwdriver that nobody ever uses. You know, I'm there. And I'm ready and willing and able, but the chances of him using me are very slim. But I'm not going to run away from the call. And I'm going to do everything I can daily to prepare for it. And if that means me going through my big knot of 550 cord one day that somebody gave us and taking out all the 20-foot lengths and bundling them up and handing them out at church so everybody has 550 cord, that's my little part for the holy cause of liberty right there. That means I teach my silly little classes one Sunday a month on how to purify water, how to bandage bullet wounds, you know, or anything else that the Lord has granted me with the knowledge of. Why not? I'm going to do everything I can in that direction. I'm moving in that direction. You know, if I'm going to stockpile every pair of boots I can find so that I can hand them out to the people that weren't prepared, that the Lord sends our way until I run out of boots, that's my calling. That's my calling. I don't, you know, I like to think I choose the place and time of the battle, but I'm going to give God that first option. And hopefully he'll let me work within those parameters of which hilltop I get on or which valley I run through to get away. I don't think he's going to micromanage me because I'm just not that important. And he's going to raise up leaders. There's going to be militia leaders that we're going to see and going to go, that guy's anointed. Well, no. We'll know it when we'll know it. It's kind of like what the Supreme Court just said about pornography. You know it when you see it. We're going to know when the time is. I mean, it's just like going back, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, because I'm not privy to this. I'm not friends with the people involved. But when everybody got upset when the Hutari thing went down and that didn't trigger World War III, that wasn't the time or the place. We weren't ready to do it. We sat here and prayed about it. What should we do? Should we be putting people on trains? Should we be getting ready? Is this it? We sat and prayed about it and said, you know what? This isn't it. This isn't the time. In fact, I felt it was a trap. Probably wasn't, but it could have been. We'll know when we know. The federal government, the state governments, the municipal governments are falling apart. Their own evil is bringing them down. Their own largesse, their own greed, their own overspending. As simple as just greed is going to destroy them from within. They're giving prisoners light sentences in California because they don't have enough people to guard them. They're letting prisoners out. They're laying off. They're shutting down whole floors of jails and prisons in California. Judges are being told, you can't sentence that guy to a state prison. We don't have room. They're talking about cutting the pay to all state workers in our state. doesn't even matter if the federal government falls apart, because you know what will happen. If the state government fails, the federal government's going to try and come in and bail it out, because you guys are going to have to pay for it. And where's the money going to come from? It won't be a lion's roar, I think. I think it'll be a whimper. And we'll come out from our holes, out of our barns, out of the back of our campers, and just go, hey, wait a minute. We have a calling now. Let's take over. Let's lead these people. Now we have a guy in the room who works closely with the jail system saying, you make an excellent point on that, Dutch. The jail counts are way down lately. There's no money to incarcerate. There's no money to even try these people. They're doing their best to just go, let's just, you know, get them to plead guilty and get out of here. Let's do probation. Let's do, you know. And that's just my experience here. I can't speak for anywhere other than these few counties that I dwell in, because I read the papers every day. They're doing these great big gang roundups in Fresno, and then you read the next day that they release them within 6 hours. They do all these roundups, cite them, and release them. Unless, you know, they're like baby eaters or something. But they'll arrest 65 gang members and release 50 of them. They'll pick them up, they'll roust them at 5 in the morning on a Saturday or whatever it is, fingerprint them, do all this, take their guns, take their drugs away from them, and then release them. There's no room in the jail, especially in Fresno County. Sheriff Mims is suing the county because he's saying, what do you keep sending me people for? I just had to lay off 24 prison, well, I don't know what you call them, jail attendees, you know, whatever you call a sheriff who works in the jail, I don't know what it is. They can't incarcerate anymore. They can't pay the welfare here. I think they've given them a deadline of like August 15th. It runs out. And you tell me what's going to happen in L.A. when those welfare checks don't go out. Now, the food stamps are federal, and that's just some kind of weird thing that's going on. But what's going to happen when they don't get their $800 a month to go buy gin and juice? Or go out and get their cigarettes and their, you know, their stuff to watch NASCAR on Sunday? It's going to get ugly, people. And our goal is to pull back away from it so we don't injure ourselves. It's like a sinking ship. You don't want to get sucked down with it. We got to start rowing for that island and be there and start setting up again and start rebuilding. Because that's what the goal of all Christians are, is to keep society going on a Christian tone. There's going to be a lot of refugees. Like I told you, here we're looking, we can handle 100 to 150 people. We'd like them to be people we've already prearranged with. We'd like them to be people that have already come with, you know. We talk about the parable of the bridesmaids, you know, and the oil running out. We want them to bring their own oil. That's one of the reasons I do this show. Capital letters, occupy till the Lord returns. That is our mandate. We are to occupy the earth. And at times take up arms to defend what little chunks of the earth we still control. We're headed for something real bad here. I'm not a prophet. I'm a historian. When I say this stuff, we're headed for something real bad, it doesn't come from my spiritual faith, because God is not talking to me like that. I don't hear voices. I don't see signs. I see little hints of things. I just go, okay, God, kick me in the head again, because I'm that stupid. But as a historian, I've always loved history since I was a kid. I've studied societies from all the way back to Ur, the first cities. How societies go in cycles, and we're no different. The society's going to fall. How far it falls depends upon just how deep the New World Order wants it to go. Because there are special control things right now that they've got going on. Just like they do with the stock market. No, they don't let it drop completely. They let it just drop just enough so they can squeeze more income out of you, more resources, more money out of you. But it may get out of their hands. They're just men. New World Order is just men. They work for Satan, I don't doubt that. But they're just men. And Satan can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent or omnipotent. It could get away from him, and I believe it is. And it's going to... We may not have another Dark Ages, but it's going to be pretty bleak. It's going to make, you know, the grapes of wrath look like, oh man, I wish it was that good. So the most we do to prepare today means how long we'll survive then to be around to do what? To restore a godly nation. To put Christ back in the mantle where he belongs. whether it be regional. I honestly believe the nation's going to fall and it won't be one big nation. You guys know that. It's going to be 5-6 different nations. You're going to have Texas Republic. You know, you're going to have weird little city states like San Francisco, and, you know, they'll probably rename it Fagborough. But if we can take a big chunk of California's farmland and a couple ports with us, that's all the better. That means we have to force them out and say, hey, you're going south. You want to live that lifestyle? Go to L.A. Go to San Francisco. Trade with all nations, tangling alliances with none. We got away from that. Got away with serving the Lord. We don't do it anymore. And it's an attitude, and I kind of got off on a spiritual thing here, but we need to get our acts together. We need to start focusing on getting our gear together, getting our minds where they need to be, and we need to keep relating to brothers and sisters in the cause. Supporting one another when we can, materially. I mean, you listen to Liberty Tree Radio sending stuff to Arizona. That warms my heart. I wish I had the ability to do that. I do what I can. So keep listening. Go to DutchJones.tk. Go to the chip in there. Send us some money, a little money here and there, whatever you can give. Can't give money, pray for us. Pray for our family. Pray for this ministry. We're going to let you go. We'll be back Monday. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on Liberty Tree Live. Liberty Tree Radio. And never break that habit. And Dutch Jones Radio Network.